I would tell them to make two different lists. One list of all of the activities, people, environments where you're completely present, completely in the moment. You don't want to be doing anything else. You don't want to be with anyone else. You don't want to be talking to anyone else. You're right where you want to be. And then make another list of all of the times when you don't feel like you're in alignment. So all of the people where your mind is wandering, the activities where you're wishing you were doing something else, and environments where you just don't thrive, and start eliminating all of those things and building your life around all of those things where you're in the moment and you feel like you're in alignment.
You are listening to the Built for More podcast. My name is Lane Taylor, and I'm obsessed with hearing people's stories and the value those stories can bring into our own lives. I have a passion for business, marketing, and shining a light on all the good that is happening in the world. I'm a husband and a father that left a decade-long corporate career to pursue my own dreams and passions in the world of entrepreneurship, because I believe that we are all built for more in this life. Join me on this journey as I bring you guests and stories that will inspire and motivate you to live a life in full abundance. I'm on a mission to learn from the best and share why I know we are all built for more. Now grab a seat, hit the play button, and let's get to work.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Built for More podcast. This is your host, Lane Taylor. And like I said in the new brand of Built for More, I said I was going to bring you better guests, better interviews, and people that I just absolutely highly endorse, love following. And this is one of those. I have been following Eric Hidman for quite a while, and I just told him the pre-interview that when you become a podcaster and you want to connect with individuals, you create wish lists. You create people that you want to have on the show, and Eric was at the very top of that, and I'm so excited that we had a connection. We have a connection that got us introduced, and I'm really excited to welcome Eric Hidman to the show. Eric is based in Denver. He's a hybrid athlete, five-time Ironman, serial entrepreneur, and a brand builder, one who specializes in scaling early-stage consumer and wellness brands. Some of the brands that Eric represents you see on some of his social media is Iced Barrel, The Normal Brand, Blocks, Masa Chips, Kane, Flux, GoRuck, all the stuff that I enjoy using, our family enjoy using, all my friends enjoy using. This is going to be an awesome interview. So Eric, thanks so much for taking the time to get on the Built for More podcast.
Thanks for having me, Lane.
So you just got done working out?
I did. Yeah, I got my CrossFit training in. So I'm ramping up for quarterfinals right now in age group. The quarterfinal workouts start next Thursday. I believe they'll announce them, and I'll have 4 days to do four of the workouts. So the last month or so has been pretty intense training, meaning a lot of high intensity workouts, a lot of Metcons, which is metabolic conditioning, a lot of really heavy lifting, you know, pretty much one rep maxes most of the days that I'm lifting and not doing the Metcons. So my nervous system is definitely feeling a little taxed going into it. And I feel like the closer you get to your A competition, your A race, you're just riding that line between peak fitness and injury. And I feel like I'm riding that line right now of like, don't overdo it. Don't get injured. Like, go in with peak fitness, but don't get injured.
Nah, that's amazing. Yeah, I'll sit and I'll watch you on social media and your stories. And it's like, man, he's just at it again. He's at it again. And so for you, so the community of the Built for More, the people that listen to this, where we're focused really on entrepreneurship, but also health, wellness, mindset, and business. And so for you, like, you are a very successful entrepreneur. You represent a lot of brands, but then you also focus heavily on your training and exercise. Why do you do that? Like, I've listened to several of your podcasts. Like, what motivates you to get up and really be successful in both of those areas?
Yeah, I've always been very progress oriented. I've always been really competitive with myself, dating back to when I was a kid. I've always wanted to define my own destiny. And Ironman back in 2010 really taught me just like daily execution and how far that can get you if you put blinders on and focus on one thing at a time. So now I really live my life doing that with whatever chapter I'm writing. Right now, you know, with athleticism, it's the CrossFit chapter of trying to get to the master's division in my age group. And in business, it's helping others build brands. I've had other chapters where I built my own brands and built my own companies. And now it's more helping others build their brand through amplifying awareness and through raising money and investing in brands. But yeah, I love progress. I love just incrementally pushing the ball forward. I love, you know, me controlling that. And I feel like if, you know, you work for someone else, you know, you don't have as much control over it. So I think that's why I've always been the way I am. And I'm so motivated. I would almost call it discipline. I'm just really disciplined. You know, I time block everything. I know exactly when I'm working out through the day. I know when I'm going to be eating. I know when I'm going to be on calls and doing podcasts. I know when I'm going to be creating content. And that allows me to save decision-making for, you know, more complex things and more creative tasks instead of using that decision-making around like, what should I eat? When should I eat? You know, when am I going to work out today? What am I going to do in the gym today? So I've just tried to time block everything so that every day is just kind of on autopilot. And obviously there's variation within all of that, but you know, the structure of how I do everything each day stays pretty similar. And, you know, I've also gotten to points where I've dug myself into a hole and, you know, I feel like I'm in a rut and, you know, I'm just going through the motions instead of living with passion and purpose. So if ever I start feeling like that, I know it's to, I know to stop writing that chapter and then to start a new chapter and start doing something else.
You talk about life chapters a lot. I've listened to you talk about that. I love that. I've had many conversations with entrepreneurs and business owners about seasons of life. And I love how you say life chapters. When did you realize that there were certain chapters in life and then you had to close that chapter and move on to the next? Because, I mean, I'll be honest, and I've shared it on the show before, that sometimes I have a problem closing a certain chapter. You do that really well. How do you do that well? What would you say to the community that's listening to this on like how to get and realize that there are chapters in life and you just got to move on?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was really during my Ironman years, 2010 to 2014, where I had a lot of time alone with my heart rate elevated in nature. And I consider that my psychedelic experience years through exercise. And I was just able to really like realize I wasn't living for myself prior to those years. I was living for the public perception of success, chasing money, chasing nice things, chasing revenue. I didn't, you know, status, chasing status. I think we all fall victim to that at various periods in life. And in those Ironman years, I just felt so fulfilled with, you know, progressing in running and progressing in biking and having goals on the calendar and increasing my fitness. And through that, I also was increasing my mental clarity and I didn't have a lull in the afternoon anymore. And I was attracting all of these amazing people and opportunities into my life. So I'm like, why am I living this way that marketing and the public tells me to live when I feel so much more fulfilled, focusing more on just having a full cup through wellness-based protocols and activities? So yeah, during those years, that's when I really reformulated my life and started basing it around what fills my cup so that I have a full cup and I can give back to others.
I love it. You've like created this life that you love to live. You've created things around it. But I want to go back a little bit because I know your story as far as you set up and you didn't really love what you did in the very beginning as far as with your insurance. So give the listeners a little bit about what you built in the beginning with your residual to where you built your life around it.
Yeah, I mean, the big lesson I learned then, and I'm so grateful for my father giving me this opportunity, is if you're going to do something that you don't truly enjoy, don't just trade time for money. Do something where you're either building an asset or you're building residual income. And I was really fortunate that my father pointed me in that direction of building an asset and building residual income. My first business, I started the day I graduated from college. It was a property and casualty insurance agency. My father managed a small mutual insurance company. So he gave me a company car and a small salary and said, you know, hey, go create your destiny. And it took about a year of knocking on doors and hearing no before it finally clicked for me. And I started focusing on a couple different markets, specifically campgrounds and marinas, to provide property and casualty insurance to them. And another lesson with that is become a thought leader in a certain space, because once I insured more and more of them, my name got name dropped to others and it became much easier to get that next business. So, you know, I was building residual income. I was building this asset that I could eventually sell during those years. And I did that for 7 years, kind of knowing that it was a means to an end. I wanted to build up enough income that I could then start taking some risks and, you know, build businesses that I was super passionate about. So when I was 27, 28 years old, that's when I started my first passion business. And that was a software company with a friend building mobile applications early in the app revolution. And, you know, that really was just from seeing like everyone using their phones and, you know, me using my phone for everything. And I'm like, God, everyone is going to have a mobile website, a mobile app. So we started this B2B company where we were building apps and mobile websites for businesses. We hired engineers and designers from Syracuse University, which is the city where I was from. And we built a nice little software business out of it. And then gradually I built businesses that were more and more in line with my passions and more an extension of myself. The next business in 2013 was a CrossFit gym that I opened with some friends and business partners called Urban Life Athletics in Syracuse, New York. And then we also opened a HIIT studio and spin studio subsequently. And through the gym, I met my business partner in some restaurants that I co-owned, a restaurant called Original Grain, kind of similar to like a Sweetgreen, healthy, fast, casual restaurant, and a trendy Mexican restaurant called Exo Taco. And then along the way, I was building this following on social media through sharing my journey with Ironman and balancing multiple businesses. And brands started reaching out around 2014, 15, you know, fast forward 10 years. And, you know, now that's my main focus is consulting with early stage wellness brands.
So I think it was, if I remember, it was Oakley that was really kind of catapulted stuff. So walk the listeners through how that kind of walked through. And then I guess, Eric, like you were working so hard at doing so many things. Did you know this is what you wanted to do? You walked into it, you fell into it. Like how, because what I love, and I was talking to someone the other day, they were like, tell me something's going on in your life. And I just made the comment and I was like, you know, I feel like I've worked really hard to feel like I'm in an alignment with what I get to do every single day. Mm-hmm. Now, there's been ups, there's been downs, but I'm just on this mission to continue to get there and then help people get there too. So it's like for you, how did you realize this is what you love doing, you're passionate about, you're good at it, you're great at it? But what was that road like?
I mean, I had no idea that in 2024, I would be, an influencer and on podcasts and creating content for brands and investing in brands. I had no idea. So no, it was not intentional at all, but I've always been mindful enough to figure out ways to monetize my passions, especially the last 15 years. So, over time with, you know, various risks I've taken, I've gotten better at taking risks and saying yes to the right things and saying no to the wrong things. But ultimately it just requires, you know, you putting yourself out there often and, you know, you'll figure out what your superpowers are. And I know that my superpowers are connecting people, building community. I love marketing and brand identity. I love creating awareness. I love putting on events. So, you know, I figured out how to build a business around all of that. But it wasn't something where I was like, you know, in 5 years, this is what it's going to look like. It just has really happened over time. I mean, for example, over the last year, I started doing these founders-only wellness events where I invite founders of wellness brands on a three-day wellness retreat. And that wasn't something that even 3 years ago I thought that I would be doing. But, you know, as I was hosting more and more people and putting on more just kind of easy events of, hey, community cold plunge this weekend and 70 people would show up. And also as I started connecting more people, which is a lot of what I do behind the scenes, I realized how beneficial it was for founders of early stage wellness companies to interact with other founders of early stage wellness companies. And oftentimes, like, they're all in their own little bubble. They're juggling a lot of balls. They're the janitor and they're working on the business. They're raising money. They're, you know, doing product development. They're doing marketing. They're doing fine. They're doing it all. So they don't really have time to take a step back and like chat with some other people, some peers that are doing things similar to them that can really fast track their way to succeeding. So, you know, that's how those founders only events were blossomed. It's never really been like I have this defined goal of I want to build this business or be here. It's just kind of going through life and, you know, knowing the way I've gone through life over the last 15 years, how many opportunities have presented themselves, and just continuing to do what I do and knowing that by helping a lot of people, you'll occupy this really small fragment of a lot of people's minds. And that when opportunity comes up, you know, you're going to be in their head as someone that they want to introduce so-and-so to. So that's worked really well for me of just like incrementally adding value every single day, whether it's through a social media post or, you know, on a podcast or, you know, chatting with the founder of a brand and giving them some insights I've learned.
Yeah. And that's what I've noticed from afar from you is you do so well at adding value. And I just see it from podcasting. You push yourself out there. And that's what I appreciate about you so much when I get to watch you. We've never met before we got on here, but I can just tell you're a connector. And when I talked to one of my good friends, Sean, he was down here. We got into the Gulf of Mexico. He was like, you know, what do you do? And I told him what I did. And I don't know how it got brought up. Maybe it was Iced Barrel or something. And I was like, yeah, man, like Eric is somebody I want. He's like, I know him. And it's just like you're a connector. Like you have that gift. You have that talent. And so how do you look at connection? How do you look at building connections? Because I love that. I love The Art of Connection. One of my favorite books is How to Win Friends and Influence People. I get to read it every single year. So for you, how do you look at connections? How do you go into conversations? I love the kind of the behind the scenes of that.
Yeah. So I love providing people with a memorable experience. I mean, our house here in Denver is called Muscle Mountain. Our backyard is a fully built out gym looking out at the mountains. We have saunas, we have ice barrels, we have a whole product seating area, we have water dispensers, we have snacks, we give out swag bags, and we host people every single night. And when people message me on Instagram and they're passing through Denver, they live in Denver, and they ask to have coffee or hit a workout, I'm like, come over to the house, 5 p.m., pick a night, there's going to be 6 to 10 other awesome people here, you'll meet a bunch of people, and we'll have the best conversation in the sauna. So yeah, leaving people with a memorable experience has been the best way for me to build meaningful relationships. And then also overcoming obstacles with others or embracing discomfort with others, jumping in cold streams, doing Ironmans with people, hitting hard workouts with people. There's this really quick earned respect when you do that with others. So that's been another way of forming fast, deep friendships with people. And I mean, you know, my following on Instagram isn't from fame. It's just from pumping out content around my life. So I generally attract great people that are just interested in wellness and interested in my life. So that's been an amazing conduit to meeting tons of people, whether, you know, I'm in 30A or whether I'm in LA or New York or some small town in Arkansas. You know, there's always almost someone who follows me on social media that will message me when I'm in one of those towns and be like, hey, you know, hop into my gym, or hey, I have a sauna, swing by. And I'm like, sure, I would love to. I've always enjoyed meeting people. And I think that dates back to me being an only child. I didn't have brothers and sisters growing up. So, you know, I always had people coming over to my parents' house to play basketball in my parents' backyard or to play ping pong in my parents' basement. So I've always had to create the excitement and create the community around me because I wasn't born with brothers and sisters that were around me all the time.
Wow. It's so funny you say that, because some of our really good friends down here, it's a running joke. I'm kind of like the spontaneous guy that loves being around people. And I think you made me just realize something about myself. I have an older brother. He is pretty older than I am. So we grew up completely in different lives. So I almost was like an only child. But I love being around people, not knocking on the door and hanging out for hours. Like, I just love that. It's so fun. It's so spontaneous. And that's exactly. So you're saying that, like, if I'm in Denver, I call and I like, or text you and be like, hey man, I'm in town. Let's get a workout. That backyard, I want to do burpees in the snow and get in the sauna. Like, that is on a bucket list of my thing to do. I want to do that.
Yeah, open invite. I mean, snow obviously depends on the season, but sauna is always cranking at 5 p.m.
That's amazing. Yeah, I went out to Denver, and for my bachelor party, we went skydiving.
Cool.
So we were in Longmont. How far are you from Longmont?
40 minutes.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I always wanted to go skydiving, and I said, you know what? What better way than to do it with a bunch of guys? And so we got to go out there and do that. So switching over a little bit to the wellness brands and the businesses, the ones that you invest in, the ones that you work with in the business landscape, startups, like what are they doing to be successful right now in the market? How are people setting themselves apart? I'm always curious because wellness brands, the ones that you represent, the ones that you invest in, I love all of them. I feel like I've had all of them. I wear all of them. But for you, what are the ones that are doing and setting themselves apart in the market right now?
Yeah, I mean, they have a brand. They're not just a product. You're buying into the lifestyle behind it. You're buying into the day in the life. You're buying into their storytelling. You're buying into the people that are the faces of the company. And obviously, they have good products as well. But so much of it is making you feel like you're a part of something. You know, 10,000, like they make everyone feel like they're a part of something. You know, their whole message around the 10,000 hour rule of like, put in the work and results will come. Kane has done a great job of building community around their recovery shoes. They've identified people that can spin up events in their cities where 150 people just show up because people want to be around those people that they've employed as their ambassadors. So I think that's one of the keys is, you know, influence, again, is different than fame. And a lot of the companies that have the best ambassador squads, they're people that others want to be around. You know, they're people that you want to go on a run with, that you want to sit in a sauna with, that you want to hit a workout with. Those are the really good ambassadors. They build community for the brands, and they make everyone else want to be a part of that community and be a part of that brand. So that's what I see working. And then, I mean, on the business side of things, the successful brands, you know, they really have customer acquisition costs dialed in. They understand who they understand their product market fit, who their customer is, what type of content to serve their customers, and they understand like long-term value of their clients. You know, subscription businesses where there's a behavior associated with the product, like NeuroGum. You know, I'm chewing that before I work out because it allows me to really drop into the workout. Or Beam Dream, where, you know, I associate that with better sleep. So of course I'm going to take it every night and I'm going to subscribe to it. So, you know, if there's a behavior associated caffeine, there's a behavior associated with the product, it makes it even stickier. And I really like subscription companies as well. But things like Ice Barrel, Sisu Sauna, you know, those you feel a certain way as well. And they build community. So, you know, I'm getting my physical benefits, mental, emotional benefits, and community-based benefits from those things. So it's checking a whole bunch of boxes by that one thing. So those are some of the things I look at with brands. And then, I mean, for me, a lot of it is the relationship. Like, I want to work with people that are friends. I want to, you know, sit in saunas with the brand, the founders of the brands that I work with, and I want to hit workouts with them. So I'm careful in the people that I work with as well, because I want them to be friendships. I don't want it to be business and play. I just want it to all be lifestyle.
I love that. What do you, when the wellness brands, because we do have people that listen to this that are not in the wellness brand space, entrepreneurs and business owners, what do you feel like those brands and things that they do, how could they move over to the B2B world or the B2C world that's not a wellness brand? What do you think that they, some of those brands could do in other aspects of the marketplace that they do really successful? How could they move it over to the other aspects of the business?
So for non-wellness-based brands,
that's right.
What
yeah.
they do?
Yeah.
Again, community and also having relatable people talking about your product or service. You know, there's some people that just aren't relatable, even though, you know, I sometimes disagree with, you know, the NBA player where like they just put in reps and sets of shooting a basketball. Obviously, genetics helps with some sports. But I mean, most people that are at the highest level, they had blinders on and they laser focused on one thing to get where they are. But I mean, what I see is, you know, everyday people that others aspire to be like are the ones who are really moving the needle for brands. And then also authenticity, obviously, is king. The content that I see working really well right now is just super authentic content, telling stories, not trying to hard sell people, but just sharing stories around your life, unique things that you've learned, you've done, ways you succeeded, ways you failed, being super authentic. And you know, just shooting it on an iPhone, it doesn't have to be anything that's highly, highly cinematic. I mean, I think we all saw Kanye West, you know, his $7 million Super Bowl commercial that was just shot on his iPhone in a car. But that's the one that stood out because it was different than all the other highly produced, super cinematic content. So I think the more real you can be and the more real the people are that you're working with, the more real the messaging is going to be and the more people are going to buy into your product or service.
Yeah, that's so true. The Kanye West commercial, I was joking with some friends the other day and how it was so simple. I mean, it was so simple. It was so raw. And then I saw some brands and companies, they kind of duplicated that as well. It was so funny. And I remember seeing a lot of Super Bowl commercials in the past that left a lasting impact. And it was always the ones that were just simple, real, and raw. And it was really cool to see that.
Definitely.
So, what's your driving force to continue to push, to continue to be around founders, continue to work out like you do? What's the driving force? I love talking with men specifically that are working hard, and they're working hard at their bodies, their minds, and they're doing things different. And they're the people that, point blankly, I want to surround myself with. Mm-hmm. And so for you, what drives you every day to do what you do?
Yeah, I mean, perfect days. That's what drives me. Figuring out what my perfect day is and replicating that to the best of my ability. And that's so much of why I structure my days the way I do. That's why wellness is such an important factor in it. That's why I have interactions with the people I have interactions with, the companies I work with. All of it is just, I want to have perfect days on a regular basis. And I want my head to hit the pillow in the evening and just feel like really fulfilled and also feel like I progressed that day. You know, I got a little bit better. I made others a little bit better. I contributed to building something or helping others build something. Again, progress is something that really makes me tick. I like feeling like I progress just a little bit every single day. So that's why I do the things that I do every day. And again, I wouldn't call it really motivation. It's more just discipline of doing very similar things day in and day out and, you know, being unremarkable consistently. And then all of a sudden you're remarkable in something.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. That's good. I love the idea of perfect days. So let me ask you this question. What's one thing a lot of people don't know about Eric, that maybe you don't see on social media, maybe you don't hear on podcasts? What's the one thing people just don't know about you?
I think I told you this when we first got on the call, but I eat a ton of frozen blueberries that often turn my mouth blue. So if I ever jump on a call or you see my mouth super blue on an Instagram post, it's because I just consumed a ton of frozen blueberries. I wind down at night. I watch like 45 minutes of YouTube in the evenings, which isn't something that I'm ever really posting on social media, but I don't do much in the evenings after like 7:30. I very rarely am going out to, you know, a club, or the Red Rocks Amphitheater is 8 minutes from our house. I'm not going to shows very often. I don't like doing late night activities because I love my 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. every single day. It's action packed. So 7 p.m. on, I'm really winding down. My girlfriend and I, Sarah, we play a game of Skip-Bo most nights. It's just kind of our wind down card routine. I like just kind of turning my mind off in the evening so I don't wake up in the middle of the night with my mind racing. And, you know, then I have to get my phone out and write down the 10 things I'm thinking about. And, you know, then you wake up the next morning and you're like, God, those are all stupid ideas. but those are some things that probably not many people know about me.
That's awesome. Yeah. Skip-Bo. I never beat my wife in Skip-Bo. It's like she has this knack and she beats me and I just don't understand it. It's like Skip-Bo, that is her game and it just annoys me sometimes.
I'm very competitive. I used to be so competitive with my mom. I would just throw a temper tantrum when I was 9 years old if she beat me in Skip-Bo. So that's carried over. I'm not as competitive with others as I used to be, but I'm still really competitive with myself.
That's amazing. God, I love that. So as we're kind of winding down here, tell the listeners what it's like to, if someone has an idea, they want to, you know, follow you, work with you, learn more about what you do. What's that look like as far as, you know, partnering with you, working with you? What's that look like?
Sure. I mean, just DM me if you're interested. I mean, I love having conversations with people that are building things, and also love having conversations just around wellness in general. But I mean, working with me is on a consulting basis. I usually do 6-month contracts with the people I'm working with because I want it to be long enough to make sure that I can gain a ton of traction for them. And I mean, a typical contract is a series of story posts, generally 3 to 5 story posts per month, 1 feed post per month, generally a video reel, the ability to whitelist content, which is, you know, sponsored through me, a call every single month, an Instagram live during the term of the agreement, and then access to my network, which I have kind of segregated out into different lists. I have a product seeding list of friends that I send products to who are all thought leaders, athletes, influential people in the wellness space. I have a list of friends who own restaurants. I have a list of event organizers, wellness retreats, podcasters. So over time, I've just segregated all of these lists of people that I know can help really move the needle for early stage wellness brands. So I make those connections behind the scenes, and that's honestly a lot of what I'm doing beyond just the content that you would see on the public facing side of things.
Yeah. Oh, that's remarkable. And guys, he does answer DMs, which is really cool. Firsthand of that, because I've got to have conversations with him. And I will say, man, I knew that you are a very authentic person, but this 30 minutes has just confirmed that. And so I appreciate things that you do. And, you know, I've followed you for quite some time. I've watched what you have done, the value that you've added to people. And I just appreciate you. And I know that this 30 minutes has added value selfishly to me, but then the audience. So I appreciate you.
Thanks so much for having me, Lane. And let me know next time you're in Denver. Let's hit a workout and hit a sauna session.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Rapid fire real quick. And then one more question after that. So rapid fire, favorite food at the moment that you're eating?
Favorite food that I'm eating now would be, man, I just started doing these raw cheddar stuffed burgers and they're bomb. I do them. I'm a Yoder smoker. So that's probably the thing I'm most looking forward to every day right now.
All right. Best book.
I mean, you said it. How to Win Friends and Influence People is one of the books that I recommend to a lot of people. Never Eat Alone is another book that I really enjoy. I love Ryan Holiday's work. I love Tim Ferriss's work. So those would be my recs.
Best movie.
I never watch movies. man, I mean, the last movie I watched was probably like 3 or 4 years ago.
All right, we'll move this over. Best CrossFit workout to hit.
Yeah, I'll give you a movie. So okay. This is actually a funny story. Gladiator is one of my favorite movies. And when I was in college and severely abusing alcohol and going partying really hard, I would always put that on late in the evening. And most like Sunday mornings, I would wake up to Gladiator just blasting on our TV downstairs in my townhouse.
I love that. All right. Best CrossFit girl workout.
The one that I'm probably best at would be the hardest one is Grace. I mean, 30 clean and jerks for time just absolutely sucks. I was going to say Murph, but that's a guy. That's what I'm best at. I would go with...
You can do the Fran. You can just give me the Fran. It's okay.
Oh, Fran hurts. Cindy, honestly, is probably what I'm best at. I just did Fran, though, 2 days ago, and I had a pretty good time. I was up to 30. I was 228.
Okay. Well, for any of you guys that don't know what Fran is, go and look it up and just know that it is pain upon pain that just I get headaches when I get done doing him. Like, it's just – but brutal. It's a good workout. It's a good workout. All right, last question. This is the Built for More podcast. I am on this mission to really help people understand they are built for more, their life, their business, their family. If someone was sitting across from you, Eric, and they were like, man, I just don't know what I'm doing, how I'm doing it, and you wanted to speak into them and just say, hey, man, you are built for more. You're meant for more in this life. What would you say to those individuals to encourage them?
Yeah, I mean, I would tell them to make 2 different lists. One list of all of the activities, people, environments where you're completely present, completely in the moment. You don't want to be doing anything else. You don't want to be with anyone else. You don't want to be talking to anyone else. You're right where you want to be. And then make another list of all of the times when you don't feel like you're in alignment. So all of the people where your mind is wandering, the activities where you're wishing you were doing something else, and environments where you just don't thrive, and start eliminating all of those things and building your life around all of those things where you're in the moment and you feel like you're in alignment.
You're awesome. Eric, thank you for your time. I really appreciate you. Excited to get this episode out and continue to follow. And if I'm in Denver, I'm going to come over and we're going to work out. We're going to get in that sauna and hang out. So I appreciate you again.
You bet. Thanks, Lynn.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. Thanks so much for listening to another episode of the Built for More podcast. Hey, do me a favor. If you think this episode would add value to anyone else in your life, do me a favor and share it. That is all that I ask. And if you're listening to it on Apple, scroll all the way down to the bottom. Give us a 5-star rating and a 5-star review. It helps with those algorithms. So until next time, Eric, see you on Instagram, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, Lynn.